الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، a quick recap of our last session on the book العقيدة الواسطية. We had emphatically explained the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is per the Quranic ayat and the prophetic traditions the only group which will be saved on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith, which is narrated by many muhaddithin, the hadith of their sects, maybe you've heard of it before, that the Jews divided into 71 sects and the Christians divided alaikum salam into 72 sects and the Muslims will divide into 73 sects, groups, denominations, whatever you like to call them, all of which will go to the fire except one. The Sahaba inquired on who was that saved group. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, وعليكم السلام, whoever is upon what I am today, pay attention, whoever is upon what I am today and my companions, meaning whoever is upon what I and my companions are upon when they ask them that question. What were they upon? They were upon the belief which we are learning, which was what? To believe everything in the Quran and everything which the Prophet ﷺ taught, without saying that there are subliminal messages and hidden meanings and philosophical messages in the actual we don't deny, we don't distort, we don't add, we don't delete, we don't change. We take it as it is. That's how they understood it. That's the discussion they had. We follow the exact same footsteps. This is the only way to salvation, by not going off track. Now, in the process, we have learned that Allah Azza wa Jal has names and attributes which He described Himself with in the Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Him with in His Sunnah. And our approach to these narrations and these ayat is that we accept them as they are, because of one fundamental understanding. Who could remind us of it? Why do we have no problem accepting anything which is presented to us? What is that one foundation which simplifies all complicated matters?
There's nothing like Allah.
Aywa. Remember, Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like Allah. Whatever has been described, whatever words, whatever, it's not like anything you've seen. It mentions Allah has a face, it's not like anything you've seen. Allah has hands, it's not like anything you've seen. So, problem. Then why would we reject when we have a text that says that you should believe in that, and we have been taught that there's nothing like Allah? So then that turns off the imagination aspect. Once people want to make an image of God now, as the Christians do and the Buddhists and the Hindus, it's like a man. You know, sometimes not a very healthy man. You know, Buddha, even when they have him in the donut shop, he has bananas and oranges. They don't just put a Buddha without some fruits with him. You know, he must come with some extra food, just in case he got hungry while everybody's at work or everybody's at home. Buddha can also consume some food while he's a statue. That's why they put fruits in his hand. Maybe that's why they put the fruits, whatever. But the images of God, which their God, is like a human being, right? He could be an Asian, he could be, you know, from the subcontinent, he could be like Jesus to them is a white man. You know, of course, in the black churches, Jesus is black. If you go to some of the black churches in other countries, and you go in there, and they have the statue of Jesus, but Jesus is black. Because they say, you know, that's not fair. Why, you know, Jesus has to be white? So they have a black Jesus. so that he can go with their ethnic, you know, race. So then the people turn God into a human being. That we don't have. Even though we are saying Allah has a face, Allah has hands, etc., we do not by any way, shape or form assume an image of Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, it's Allah is way above our feeble depiction. You know, you can't even comprehend, you can't even begin to understand the greatness of Allah, let alone someone daring to put an image of Allah. You see how safe this is? We believe, we just don't have images because you can't imagine. You cannot. You really love Allah and you want to know what He's like, go to Jannah. You will see Him then. That's it. You will find out what you were not able to imagine today. That will be your reward on the Day of Judgment after you enter Paradise. That's what it is. Today, don't deny and don't liken Allah to some creation. Don't imagine Allah as these people do. So then, in the last session we dealt with the quality of what? Laughter. No. That Allah Azza wa Jal laughs in a manner which befits His Majesty. The essence of that laughter, the way Allahu A'lam, we don't know, but we believe the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah laughs, we say Allah laughs. That's it, that's as simple as that. Now, a very famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, which becomes muttafaqun alayh. If you ever read an Arabic text, and you see the expression muttafaqun alayh written in Arabic, that means both Bukhari and Muslim had collected this hadith. In English they say, agreed upon. Agreed upon. If you ever wondered what is agreed upon, it means both Bukhari and Muslim have collected this particular narration. Even if one of them had collected the hadith, it's over. The hadith is sound. The hadith is authentic. We don't have to further investigate. Let alone both of them. Yani, there's no room for any argument whatsoever. If it was in Tirmidhi, it was in Nisa'i, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Al-Shaybani, Ibn Abi Shayba, Al-Bayhaqi, we have to further investigate. So we have to look at the chain of narrators, and it's a whole other discussion. But in these, khalas. Now here's what this hadith says. Al-Hadith al-Qamis fi ithbat al-Rijl aw al-Qadam. The fifth narration is in affirming Allah's leg or foot. وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال جهنم يلقى فيها. جهنم will remain in the state of having people thrown into it. وهي تقول هل من مزيد, and it will be saying, is there any more? Is there any more? Does that remind you of an ayah in the book of Allah? Surah Qaf. What is the ayah? Exactly. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day, this is in the Quran. On the day we will say to Jahannam, are you filled? And it will say, is there any more? Is there any more? It wants more. Jahannam will be like hungry. It wants to consume. Why? Revenge for Allah. It wants to take revenge from those who disobeyed Allah, from those who disbelieved in Allah, because it's the punishment of Allah. That's where the punishment will take place. وَهِيَ تَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. It will continue to say, is there any more? Is there any more? حَتَّى يَضَعُ رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ فِيهَا رِجْلُهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عَلَيْهَا قَدَمُهُ. Until the possessor of might, Allah Azza wa Jal, puts his foot, his leg in it. In another narration, which is also authentic, he puts his foot on it. In one, he puts his leg in it. In the other one, he puts his foot on it. فَيَنْزَوِي بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ. Then it will be cornered. The fire will become, it will be cornered. It will just be squeezed to the sides, to the edges of Jahannam. فَتَقُولُ قَطٌ قَطٌ. It will say, enough, enough. خلاص. Now I cannot take it anymore. The hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon, narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim. قوله لا تزال جهنم يلقى فيها هذا يوم القيامة. Now explaining the hadith. This is now the tafsir of the hadith. This is when? On the day of judgment. on the Day of Judgment. Now, I have a question though. Does the fire exist now? Is the fire in existence now, or will it come to existence on the Day of Judgment? Anyone says it will go, it will happen on the Day of Judgment? Jahannam is existing as we speak. It's existing now. It's been there, in fact. And many evidences, the most basic one is Allah says about Jahannam, U'iddat lil-kafirin. It was prepared, past tense, for the disbelievers. It was prepared. And not it will be prepared. It was prepared. Khalas. It's been prepared. And of course, you know from the other narrations that Fir'aun, النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشية. The fire, they will be presented before it in the morning and in the evening. Again, this is from the punishment of the grave, proving that there's punishment that exists already. And we have many other narrations that deal, and many ayat in the book of Allah, that Jahannam is already is available. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that when the heat which you get on some days, the extreme heat and the extreme cold, is actually a breath from the breaths of Jahannam, which Allah had allowed it to breathe, which means that it's there. Now, Allah musta'an. طيب. But however, people will be thrown in on the Day of Judgment. يعني يلقى فيها الناس والحجارة. People and stones. لأن الله تعالى يقول فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة. Because Allah says, so protect yourselves from a fire in which its fuel will be men and stones. وقد يقال يلقى فيها الناس فقط. And some other ulama say it's only people that will be thrown in, not people and stones. وأن الحجارة لم تزل موجودة فيها, and that stones have ever been in there. Stones have been in there already. It's not like they will be thrown along with the people. Meaning the stones are in the fire now, عليكم السلام, and the people will be thrown on top of the stones. والعلم عند الله, the knowledge is with Allah concerning the, you know, the intricacy of this information. يلقى فيها في هذا دليل على أن أهلها والعياذ بالله يلقون فيها إلقاء لا يدخلون مكرمين. The statement يلقى فيها, he will be thrown in, it's in the passive. You know, in the English language you have the active voice and the passive voice. For example, you say Mr. Shmemri built the Dawah Center in 1955. That's in the active voice, because we know who did the actual action. You say this Dawah Center was built in 1955. Now you're not mentioning who's doing it. It's passive. It's Allahu A'lam. There's no importance actually. There's no, the emphasis on the Dawah Center, not on the one who built the Dawah Center. Now in the Arabic language you have something similar. It says يلقى فيها, they will be thrown in it. Doesn't mention who. Now we know who. Who will throw them? The Malaika. The Malaika will be throwing them. ألقوا في جهنم. In Surah Qaf also, throw in Jahannam. Allah will be addressing the Malaika that they will throw the people in Jahannam. In other ayat, we understand that the disbelievers will jump themselves in Jahannam. They themselves will throw themselves in Jahannam. والعياذ بالله. يلقون فيها, the Sheikh said they will be thrown in it, they will not be entering in honor. They won't be, you know, a special, you know, event. You know, what do you call that thing when they cut the whatever, yes, exactly. None of that stuff, you know. People will be welcome, تفضل, you know, أهلا وسهلا, but no. People will be thrown in. We have other evidences for that. بل يدعون إلى نار جهنم دعا. They will be called in and tossed in with humiliation. كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتيكم نذير. Every time a group will be thrown in, the guardians of Jahannam will say, did not a messenger come to you? Didn't the messenger come to you? Didn't the warner come to you? قالوا بلى. They will say yes, but it was, you know, it'll be too late for them. This is Surah Al-Mulk, verse 8. قولوا هي تقول هل من مزيد. هل للطلب. And the fire will be saying, is there any more? هل is request. Is there. يعني زيدوا, which means give me more. You know, it's an interrogative, but they're really trying to make a declarative sentence. you're asking a question, but you really want more. For example, you get your serving of food, and you want to get another one, so you go to the chef, and you say, is there any more soup? And in fact, you want more soup. But you're asking now, even you're making a request through asking, as opposed to saying, can you give me some soup? You say, is there any soup? Naturally, if he says yes, what do you say? Okay, thank you. And you say, give me some soup. You know, I used to do this when I was a bad kid, you know. And I will tell you this, but don't tell anyone. This is before Allah guided me to Islam. I used to go to the school, where I used to go to school in Lebanon. I would go to the, don't learn this, okay? The whatchamacallit, the bagala kind of thing, right? I will say, how much is the Snickers? And he will be saying, you know, it's like, for example, you know, 1,000 Lebanese dirhams. I said, okay, can I have a Twix, please? How much is the orange juice? He said, okay, one Pepsi, please. I would always ask him about something and then get something else. Of course, one of them times he jumped out of the place and, you know, he tried to beat me up and I had to run for my life because he had had enough with me. But, you know, it doesn't make sense. You ask for more than you want. You ask if there's more, you want more. You're not playing games with the people. Well, yes, I want this, but I was just asking. If you say, is there any more soup, then you really want more soup. So now this is important. It's saying, is there any more? But really it's saying, give me more. Zidu. I want more. وأبعد النعج من قال أن الاستفهام هنا للنفي. And whoever says that the hellfire is actually negating is has went far off the correct understanding. والمعنى على زعمه لا مزيد على ما فيه. And he claims that it's saying that there isn't any more that you can add. والدليل على بطلان هذا التأويل. And the evidence for the you know the error in this interpretation is the following. قوله حتى يضع رب العزة فيها رجله وفي رواية عليها قدمه لأن هذا يدل على أنها تطلب زيادة. The evidence is until the possessor of might, the possessor of عزف, العزيز, he places his foot in Jahannam or on Jahannam, we have both. This indicates that he was asking for more. He wanted more. He couldn't have been saying that there isn't any more negating. لما وضع الله عليها رجله حتى ينزوي بعضها إلى بعض فكأنها تطلب بشوق إلى أن يلقى فيها زيادة على ما فيها. Until Allah then placed his foot, then it became the fire was cornered, it was all cornered, and this is an indication that it was seeking more people to be burnt until Allah Azza wa Jalla had done that, or Allah will do that. قوله حتى يضع رب العزة عبر برب العزة لأن المقام مقام عزة وغلبة وقهر. Now why was that expression used? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say until the master or the owner of might would place his foot? Because the context is that of power. Of, you know, Allah being the irresistible. Allah being the dominant. The power, the dominant power. So, you know, the Jahannam will be in the state with Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهُنَا رَبْ يَعْنِي صَاحِبْ. And here Rabb means the possessor. Not the master as Rabbul Alameen, it means the possessor. وليست بمعنى خالق. It doesn't mean the creator. لأن العزة صفة من صفات الله وصفات الله تعالى غير مخلوقة. Because عزة might is from the attributes of Allah and the attributes of Allah are uncreated. So if the meaning was the master of might, that makes Allah the master, a creator of the quality of might. But the quality of might is the quality of Allah Azza wa Jal and it is uncreated. So then we understand that Rabb al-Izza means the possessor of might, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلُهُ فِيهَا رِجْلُهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عَلَيْهَا قَدَمُهُ. Now, in one narration we have Allah puts his leg in it. In another one we have he puts his foot on it. وَفِي وَعَلَى مَعْنَاهُمَا وَاحِدْ هُنَا. فِي means what in English, ya jama'ah? في إن الماء في الكأس. The water is in the cup, or this is cup actually. كأس usually is glass. الماء في الكأس. الطلاب في الفصل. We are in the class. على
on.
Right or wrong? الجوال على الطاولة. It's on the table. Okay, this is not Dr.
Yahya.
Yeah, it's also above, no problem, but the most, you know, the most popular meaning is being on. Now, in the Arabic language, these two terms are used interchangeably. What does that mean? Interchangeably meaning you may remove one and replace it with the other and it will not change the meaning. You may replace one with the other and the meaning will be the same. That does not happen in many words, by the way. This is one of the few times where you can use words interchangeably. The evidence for that is the statement of Allah in the Quran. What strengthens this position is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun, alayhi la'natullah, what did he say to the magicians or the Muslims who were ex-magicians? He said, لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. Verily, I shall crucify you on the trunk of the palm trees. Do you crucify someone inside the tree? Do you open the tree and you crucify them inside, you close it back up? No. Where is someone crucified? On the tree. What is the term used? لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. In other ayat Allah says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, walk in earth. Are we going to go under the ground and try to walk and explore? No. What does it mean? Walk upon earth. Walk on earth. But the statement used, the preposition used, سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, which means عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. So in and on can be used interchangeably. So now the Sheikh saying, here it means aywa, ay alayha, meaning on it, and it doesn't mean in it. On it, Allah would put His foot on Jahannam and not in Jahannam. The Sheikh will explain why. Amma al-rajul, you have to be careful. See, this is the technicality of the Arabic language. Now the word ra, jim, la, lam, depending on the haraka, the meaning will change. If you want to speak of a man, you say rajul, rajul. But this is not rajul, this is rijil, rijil, which means foot. You see? So the haraka makes a difference in the actual word. Ya amma rijil wal qadam fama'nahuma wahid. The meaning is one and the same. The leg and the foot, the Sheikh says, the meaning in the Arabic language, I was translating leg and foot, but the Sheikh says, in the Arabic language, they are one and the same. وَسُمِّيَتْ رِجْلُ الْإِنسَانِ قَدَمًا. Now, why was the رِجْل called قَدَم? لِأَنَّهَا تَتَقَدَّمْ فِي الْمَشِي. قَدَم has to do with being ahead. And so the Arabic language is very, very, very graphical. There's a lot of imagery. There's a lot, every word actually has a lot of images. For example, you didn't know this, Asr. You know why it's called Asr? Asr has to do with squeezing. And that time is called Asr because it is the end of the day where people are trying to squeeze and finish all of their work before the sun sets and they can no longer see. Now today you have lights. Before, there were no lights. So the merchant, the one who was selling merchandise and going around selling dates or whatever, his peak time, his the best time to sell was before sunset. Once the sun sets, he can no longer do business. You understand? Because the light is out. There's the khalas, the sun has set. So that time where people are rushing to do a lot of work comes from squeezing. The time is being squeezed at the end. Consequently, the Arabs used to call that time before Maghrib, Asr. From asir, asir is juice, because it's that which is squeezed. So you know, this every word has a whole, you know, history of why this word is used in the Arabic language. So that makes a difference in the tafsir. So if this is the case, it's called qadam from tataqaddam, because it moves ahead of the person. Because it moves ahead, they call it qadam, which we in English call it foot. Subhanallah. فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَصَدِعْ يَمْشِي بِرِجْلِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا قَدَمَا. The Shaykh said, a man cannot walk with his foot unless he puts it ahead. Now he tried to do it, it's not going to happen. Unless you want to walk backwards, but that will look quite odd. And you will still be putting it ahead, but the other way around. So this is why it's called قَدَم. From رِجْل. Because it's that which you put forth, that which you put ahead of yourself. قَوْلُهُ فَيَنْزَوِي بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضِ يعني يَنْضَمُّ بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْ عَظَمَةِ قَدَمِ الْبَارِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. يَنْزَوِي, it will be cornered, meaning it will all become, it will override each other. it will be combined, it will be put together, it will be like cornered and stuffed. Why? Because of the greatness of the foot of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu azza wa jal. قولوا وتقولوا قط قط بمعنى حسبي حسبي يعني لا أريد أحدا. It will say enough, enough. That means I don't want anything else. I don't want any more. I have had enough. Now the Shaykh says in this particular hadith, في هذا الحديث من الفوائد. We have many فوائد. Maybe in your book actually it says something else, but the actual word is فوائد. I don't know what does it say, Abdul Majid. Hey, but what is in the hadith? في هذا الحديث من الصفات or من الفوائد? The correct word is من الفوائد. Change it, inshallah. If you want to scratch off الصفات and put instead الفوائد. For those of you who have the Arabic text. أولا إثبات القول من الجماد لقوله وهي تقول وكذلك فتقول قط قط وهو دليل على قدرة الله الذي أنطق كل شيء. The first benefit is the fact that non-living things are able to speak. Non-living things are able to speak. The evidence is that Jahannam will say, هي تقول, it will say, is there any more? It will say, enough, enough. And this shows the greatness or the ability of Allah who is able to let anything speak. You know, things which usually do not speak, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them speak. On the Day of Judgment, يوم تشهد, what will bear witness against us? ألسنتهم وجلودهم وأرجلهم, your tongue, your skin, your feet, your hands, everything will speak against you. Meaning a person will become his own enemy. You say, I didn't do it, then Allah will make your body parts speak and say, oh Allah, he did this such and such with me, he went to such and such place with me, and now you can't, you know, you cannot say, well, they're lying. Because that's from you now. So Allah will make things which usually don't speak, Allah will make them speak. Jahannam is no exception. ثانياً التحذير من النار. The second benefit from this hadith is warning from the fire. لقوله لا تزال جهنم يلقى فيها وهي تقول هل من مزيد. Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, جهنم will remain having people thrown in it, and he will say, is there any more? Is there any more? ثالثاً إثبات فضل الله عز وجل. فإن الله تعالى تكفل للنار بأن يملأها كما قال لأملأن جهنم من الجنة والناس أجمعين. The third benefit is affirming the bounty and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah had promised that He will fill up the hellfire. In Surah Hud, Ayah 119, Allah says, لأملأن جهنم. This is with tawkid, with emphasis. Verily, indeed, without a doubt, I shall fill up Jahannam from the jinn, والناس أجمعين, all together. Allah promised that Jahannam shall be filled. طيب. فإذا دخلها أهلها وبقي فيها فضل. Now when the people will enter it, and there will remain some space, for more people. وقالت هل من مزيد, and it will say, is there any more? I can accommodate more people. وضع الله عليها رجله. Allah Azza wa Jal will put on it His foot. فانزوى بعضها إلى بعض وامتلأت بهذا الانزواء. So it will be filled accordingly. That will be means of filling it. وهذا من فضل الله عز وجل. This is from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. وإلا فإن الله قادر على أن يخلق أقواما ويكمل ملأها بهم ولكنه عز وجل لا يعذب أحدا بغير ذنب. Otherwise Allah may create creatures whom He will throw in Jahannam. Right? Allah can create more people whom He will put in Jahannam and it will be filled. However, Allah does not punish anyone without a sin. If you didn't commit a crime, you will not be punished. بخلاف الجنة, unlike Jannah. بخلاف الجنة, unlike Jannah. فيبقى فيها فضل عمن دخلها من أهل الدنيا. After everyone enters Jannah, there will be some space left in Jannah. What will Allah do? What will Allah do? فيخلق الله أقواما يوم القيامة ويدخلهم الجنة بفضله ورحمته. Allah will create some people on that day whom He will permit to paradise through His mercy. When it came to Jannah, People were created who didn't do anything. Allah created them and put them in Jannah to fill up Jannah. But in Jahannam, Allah didn't do the same. He didn't fill up people. He didn't, you know, create people that He would punish, because that's punishment. So then He, Azza wa Jal, He placed His foot on Jahannam so that it would be filled, whereas Jannah, it had a whole other treatment. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, if you just create and you create, and next thing you know, you go to Jannah? MashaAllah, it's mercy from Allah. InshaAllah, but you know, those who work hard, perhaps will get a superior position in Jannah than those who will be created and allowed to enter therein. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Because we know Allah Azza wa Jalla is just. طيب رابعا أن لله تعالى رجلا وقدما حقيقية. That Allah Azza wa Jalla has a leg and foot. In truth, لا تماثل أرجل المخلوقين. It does not resemble. It does not resemble the legs of the creation. And I gave you the example last week. They call these the legs of the chair. And an ant may have legs, and the elephant has legs, and you have legs. And there's absolutely nothing in common between them except the three or four letters L-E-G-S. That's it. The essence, one is made of wood, the other one is made out of, you know, this. The blood of the elephant is not like that of the ant, not like that of the human being. The bones are not the same. The muscles are not the same. The flesh is not the same. Nothing is the same. But we call all of them legs. If amongst the creation, we have this huge difference between two things that have the same created thing, then how would the difference be with Allah Azza wa Jal? Even greater. You see the point? If among the creation we have this difference, then if we were to compare the creation to the Creator, subhanAllah, then it's way beyond that. So just because we're using legs, why are we saying this? Because we are using leg, it does not allow you to imagine any leg. Not that of, you know, a human being or otherwise. Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best about Himself. But we believe the hadith. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was the most eloquent of Arabs, the best in speech, the most clarity you will find in the narrations. The Sahaba were knowledgeable of the Arabic language. They understood the metaphor of the language. Everything was, I mean, the situation did not entertain philosophy. They were men who knew what was going on. He was speaking to the Sahaba, explaining to them that Jahannam will say, and Allah will place His foot on it. Not once did the Sahabi say, oh Messenger of Allah. What does that mean? Or how is Allah's foot? Or does that really mean that Allah, or does it mean something else? Never. They never ever had this conversation. So the scholars say, then why are we having it? Those who want to deny now. If the most knowledgeable of Allah had around him the people who loved knowledge the most, and in their lives they never carried such a conversation, they never had such a conversation, why would someone like, you know, in our state, someone who doesn't love knowledge as much as Sahaba, and wind up asking a sheikh who could not be more knowledgeable of Allah than the Messenger of Allah, why would we have this conversation if they didn't have this conversation? So it's very basic. And they knew what these words meant. They knew what qadam means in the Arabic language. It doesn't mean that many things as they claim. Now you will find out the people of tahrif will find you other meanings and all this philosophy. But we will see how that doesn't really, you know, hold any water, inshallah ta'ala. Fine. So that was the fourthly. وَيُسَمِّي أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ مِثْلَ هَذِي الصِّفَةِ الصِّفَةَ الذَّاتِيَّةَ الْخَبَرِيَّةَ. If you remember, the people of sunnah call this kind of attribute صِفَةَ ذَاتِيَّةَ Khabariya. It's an attribute of Allah that is dhatiya, as in it is personal. Khabariya, it is information. It's based on information. It's based on news which is conveyed onto us. لِأَنَّهَا لَمْ تُعْلَمْ إِلَّا بِالْخَبَرِ. Because we have no means of knowing it unless it came to us through some information. Informative. It's a personal informative attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِأَنَّ مُسَمَّاهَا أَبْعَضُ لَنَا وَزَى. Because in our understanding, it's like body parts. وَلَكِنْ لَا نَقُولُ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلَّهِ. But we don't say that it's body parts when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّهَا بَعْضُ أَزْوَاجٍ. We don't say that Allah has body parts as we say to the human beings. لِأَنَّ هَذَا مُمْتَنِعٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is impossible in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you say that, then you are resembling Allah to His creation and you have no textual evidence which says that Allah has body parts. Allah says this and you just believe it as is. We don't go into the philosophical path, you know, in these teachings. وَخَالَفَ الْأَشَاعِرَ وَأَهْلُ التَّحْرِيفِ فِي ذَلِكَ. Who contradicted these ayat and these narrations? The Ash'arites and Ahlul Tahrif, the people of distortion. They contradicted Ahl Sunnah in this teaching. فَقَالُوا يَضَعُ عَلَيْهَا رِجْلُهُ يَعْنِي طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ مُسْتَحَقِّينَ لِلدُّخُولِ. Listen to this now. They say, what is intended by Allah will place on it His foot, what is intended that Allah will place on it some slaves of His who are supposed to enter Jahannam. Isn't that odd? You see where they went with their tafsir? Allah will place on Jahannam slaves, people who are supposed to be punished, yani some of the inhabitants of Jahannam. Allah will place them, and that is what is intended by وَيَضَعُ عَلَيْهَا قَدَمُ. Allah places His foot on it. Ajib, this interpretation. وَالرِّجِلْ تَأْتِي بِمَعْنَ الطَّائِفَ. Because in some very limited cases, رِجِلْ may mean a group. رِجِلْ, foot, may mean a group. كما في حديث أيوب عليه الصلاة والسلام أرسل الله إليه رجل جراد من ذهب يعني طائفة رجل جراد من ذهب يعني طائفة من جراد. As in the hadith of Ayub عليه الصلاة والسلام that Allah عز وجل sent to him some locust, a group of them from gold, of gold. And here it means a group. رجل means group. وهذا تحريف باطل. This is a distorted, false interpretation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لأن قولها عليها يمنع ذلك. Why? SubhanAllah, look at the choice of words. Because of the prepositional phrase عليها, on it, prevents the meaning. Because if Allah put that group on it, that means that they did not go in. He did not put them in Jahannam. He put them on Jahannam. And that doesn't make any sense linguistically now. In the Arabic language, because we're dealing with the Arabic language, that is nonsensical. That doesn't make any sense. You will say, even in the ayah, كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ. Every time a group, فِيهَا, is thrown in, not عَلَيْهَا, not on it. So now, linguistically, their false interpretation is not supported by the Arabic language. This is very important. وَأَيْضًا لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يُضِيفَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. Allah will never, you know, refer the people of the hellfire to Himself. What does that mean? لِأَنَّ إِضَافَةِ الشَّيْءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَكْرِيمُ وَتَسْفِيفُ. Whenever Allah refers something to Himself, it is means of honoring it and showing it respect. For example, you say, Baytullah, the house of Allah. Now, does that mean that it is the house of Allah? No, it means it's a house which Allah wants to honor. So He refers it to Himself, Azza wa Jal, because anything which is referred to Allah is automatically venerated and honored. Naqatullah, the camel of Allah, because it is means of honoring this camel which He gave to Thamud, right? Saifullah, Khalid ibn al-Walid, the sword of Allah. Again, anytime something is mentioned in reference to Allah, Allah is trying to show us its virtue and importance. Isa, Jesus, what is He called? Kalimatullah, the word of Allah. But what was the word of Allah? Kun, be, and He was. But because of the greatness, Allah is trying to show us the virtue of Isa alayhi salatu salam, Jesus, so He said, Kalimatullah. Now, you learn from this that anytime Allah mentions, refers something to Himself, He is honoring them. Now they are claiming that Allah is honoring the people of Jahannam. Because the ayah now, according to them, the hadith is that Allah is referring the people of Jahannam to Himself. Because the hadith says, يَضَعُ عَلَيْهَا رِجْلَهُ. And رِجْلَه, the ha, which is the pronoun, his, So now we're saying that this group of Jahannam, the people of Jahannam, are Allah's. This doesn't make sense in the Quran and the Sunnah. We only refer to Allah, that which is honored, not that which is in the state of humiliation. In fact, if you read the Quran, you'll find that even it goes beyond that. When Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show His displeasure with a group of people, Allah does not even mention His name with them. Allah will not even mention His name in the context of people whom Allah is displeased with. For example, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Bismillah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, help me out. Al-Mutaffifin, that's in the beginning. Later on, Kalla, إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. Now they were the ayah says nay, but on that day they shall be veiled away from Allah. محجوبون, there will be a partition between them and Allah. They will not be able to see Allah because of what they earn. Now look at the next ayah. And then it will be said to them, this is the hellfire which you used to be like. It doesn't say that Allah will say, وَيَقُولُ, Allah will say, even because Allah has distanced Himself from them, on that day, even in the choice of words in the Quran, Allah says it will be said to them. And Allah doesn't say who will say it. But in other ayat, Allah will say, this is the hellfire which you used to deny. But in that ayah, because Allah is distancing Himself from them, He says it will be said to them. You see? So when Allah wants to distance Himself from the disbelievers, He doesn't even mention His name in that context. Subhanallah. So then how are these people claim that these people of Jahannam are being referred to Allah? This is a dangerous interpretation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقالوا في القدم قدم بمعنى مقدم أي يضع الله تعالى عليها مقدمه أي من يقدمهم إلى النار. Again, the word قدم, they said Allah will put those whom He will place ahead, those whom Allah will place ahead for Jahannam. Again, they're trying to misinterpret. Now we have the word رجل, they said it means a group of people. مقدم, it means those who have been given precedence and put ahead. They continue to try to find some false interpretations of the words of the hadith so that they can maintain their deviant belief system. What is the bottom line? They want to deny Allah's foot. That's what it is. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to accept it. Why? Because in the sickness in the mind tells them, once you affirm it, then you are making Allah like His creation, which is not okay. So then they wind up denying the hadith. We say, no. We believe, but there's nothing like Allah. If you had that resolve, then the rest would become quite simple. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا بَاطِلٌ أَيْضًا فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ النَّارِ لَا يُقَدِّمُهُمُ الْبَارِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is false as well. The people of the fire shall not be given precedence by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ يُدَعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَنَيْتْ. But they will be thrown. They will be thrown into the hellfire. As we mentioned, by the angels, they will throw themselves in the hellfire and other ayat. Allah will not be the one who's doing it for them. وَيُلْقَوْنَ فِيهَا الْقَى. They will be thrown in. They will not be placed on it. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُحَرِّفُونَ فَرُّوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَوَقَعُوا فِي شَرٍ مِنْهِ. Those distorters of the ayat and narrations, those who distort the meaning, they twist the meaning, they were trying to escape an evil in their minds, and they fell into something which is way more evil. فَرُّوا مِنْ تَنْزِيهِ. No, they tried to escape something and they fell into something more evil. فَرُّوا مِنْ تَنْزِيهِ اللَّهِ عَنِ الْقَدَمِ وَالرِّجِلِ. They tried to escape affirming to Allah having a foot or a leg. لَكِنَّهُمْ وَقَعُوا فِي السَّفْهِ وَمُجَانَبَةِ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. But they fell into feeble-mindedness and basically extracting Allah's wisdom from His actions. Claiming that Allah has no wisdom in His actions. He's attributing the people of Jahannam to Himself. He's given them precedence over others. All this is nonsensical. Now, you may not have not known this, and the Shaykh didn't quote it, but guess what? You know Surah Noon? Noon. والقلم وما يسطرون ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون. Now if you go towards the end of the ayah, I mean, read this in your language, it says towards the end of the surah, يوم يكشف عن ساق ويدعون إلى السجود فلا يستطيعون. And read the tafsir in Bukhari and Muslim. On the day where Allah will expose his shin, which is part of a leg, and they will be called to prostrate, but they will not be able to do so. And in the hadith, it mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal will expose his leg, Azza wa Jal, on the day of judgment. People will be called to do sujood. The kuffar and the munafiqeen, their backs will be straight like wooden, like wood. They will be unable to bow or do sujood. Whereas the believers will go on sujood. وَكَدْ كَانُ يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. And he used to be called to prostrate while they were sound and healthy. Then we have an ayah in the book of Allah speaking of the same teaching. How will they interpret that? When we have a hadith which explains the ayah as well. Authentic narration. So it's clear for us what Allah is telling us about Himself. And it is clear for us that we have no imagery. That we do not have any imagery, but we believe. Allah said that, this is what it is. وَالْحَاصِلْ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنْ بِأَنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى قَدَمًا. The bottom line, Sheikh Abdul Majid and brother, remember your name?
Habib Khan.
I need to remember your name. Habib Khan.
Nabi.
Khan.
Your prophet. MashaAllah, there are no more prophets after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Khan Imam
Prophet.
Khan Imam Prophet.
Aywa. Nabi, but this is the questionable one. Man, no problem. Beautiful name. Tayyib, listen. In your book it says بِأَنَّ اللَّهِ. There's an alif before, but you should omit that. Not بِأَنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قَدَمًا أَنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. So omit the first alif from that sentence, so that it will become, this is a typo, this is a typing error in the book. It should be وَالْحَاصِلْ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِأَنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى قَدَمًا. So that will be written, and it will be like this. Okay, lam, and the ha with a shadda. Not with an alif in the beginning. With the alif it becomes Allah. When you take out the alif it becomes Lillah. Yours is Lillah? Beautiful. Yours? Okay, so then problem is in my book. Khair. بِأَنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى قَدَمًا. That Allah Azza wa Jal has a foot. That's the bottom line. This is the conclusion. That's what we need to believe. وَإِنْ شِئْنَا قُلْنَا رِجْلًا. And if we wish we can say Allah has a leg. عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْحَقِيقَةِ. In fact. Not theoretically. مَعْ عَدَمِ الْمُمَاثَلَةِ. Along with not likening Allah to His creation. Not resembling Allah to His creation. No way. وَلَا نُكَيِّفِ الرِّجِلِ. And we don't say how. How? We don't know how, and we don't want to know how now. Our belief system prevents us from speaking about Allah without knowledge. And from going into matters which Allah did not reveal. It's a very sensitive issue. Someone trying to learn something which the Prophet ﷺ deliberately didn't say is being excessive and going to extremes in the religion, which is not allowed. You know, they didn't discuss this. Leave it alone, man. Leave it alone. Take it as it is. Don't interject. نعم. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبرنا بأن لله تعالى رجلا أو قدما. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us that Allah has a leg or a foot. ولم يخبرنا كيف هذه الرجل أو القدم. And he did not inform us how that leg is or how is that foot. No information about that. وقد قال الله تعالى. And Allah had already previously told us, قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. Very important ayah. Surah Al-A'raf, verse 33. Verily say, my Lord has made prohibited fawahish, all outrageous evil sins, that which is apparent to the people in that which is hidden, baghi, transgression, without just cause, wa an tushriku billahi ma lam yunazzil bihi sultana, that you associate partners with Allah. That which He sent no authority concerning, and Allah never sent any authority concerning worshipping others with Him. And lastly, and that you should say about Allah that which you do not know. From the haram things which Allah made haram is that you speak about Allah without knowledge. So once you want to ask how, and you expect an explanation how, when Allah did not tell us how, then you're trying to speak about Allah without knowledge. Because the one who's going to answer you will have to create something which Allah didn't teach. He will have to fabricate something which is not in the Quran and the Sunnah. And that is speaking about Allah without knowledge. So you neither ask, nor does the one being asked answer. Because this is a bid'ah. As Imam Malik, you all know Imam Malik? When he was sitting in the masjid teaching the people, and a man walked in, said, you know, Ya Imam, O Imam, كيف استوى الرحمن على العرش? How did Allah, how did the Most Merciful rise above the throne? What did Imam Malik do? He put his head down. They said, until perspiration started to form on his forehead, he started sweating. This was a heavy, heavy duty question, which he had never come across. Then he raised his head to the man, and he said, الاستواء معلوم. The word istiwa, which means rising above, ascending, is known in the Arabic language. والكيف مجهول. However, how is unknown. والإيمان به واجب. For you to believe in that is compulsory. It's in the Quran. والسؤال عنه بدعة. And for you to ask about this is an innovation. But he didn't stop. He said, ولا أراك إلا مبتدعا. And I see that you are nothing but an innovator. And he commanded his students to throw him outside the masjid. Kick him out. Why? He came to corrupt the minds of the people. People were having a good time. They believed in the ayah. No one was thinking, how did Allah rise above a throne? Until this person brought this sickness, this question. Subhanallah. And then he was not allowed to the desk of the sheikh. Why? This was of course, the asl is that there's, you know, mercy, there's lenience, but in this is a lesson the sheikh, the imam, was teaching to the people. Don't play with this stuff. Don't be asking about how Allah did this, how did Allah do that, when you are not allowed to be asking these questions, because Allah did not inform us about these issues. Allah left him from the knowledge which belongs to him, then we leave it as that. If we try to ask questions, we are becoming extreme. And extremism is not allowed in the religion. طيب إن شاء الله. We are the last فائدة here. والفائدة المسلكية من هذا الحديث هو الحذر الشديد من عمل أهل النار خشية أن يلقى الإنسان فيها كما يلقى غيره. The practical benefit from this hadith is that one should be very, very cautious about the deeds of the people of the hellfire. Just in case, or to be worried or concerned that one may be thrown in Jahannam as others will be thrown in Jahannam. Yani, don't give yourself a ticket to Jannah already, which is what the shaitan does. The first thing the shaitan does when you say the shahada, he issues a ticket for Jannah. He says, khalas, you know, don't worry about anything. You pray 5 times a day, you do hajj, you know, once in your life. But he's like, you go to Jannah, no doubt. That's the first thing the shaitan does, but that's not the attitude of a Muslim. We need to be careful. Am I doing the deeds of the people of Jahannam? I mean, will I be of those who will be thrown in Jahannam and Jahannam will be saying, is there anymore? This is crazy. This is a calamity. And we need to be mindful of that and avoid doing the deeds of the people of Jahannam. Alhamdulillah, we finished this actual hadith in one session. Inshallah ta'ala, next week, the sixth narration in this chapter, which is في إثبات الكلام والصوت, we will be speaking of Allah's speech and the voice, the sound of Allah's voice subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the speech of Allah, and the ayat and the narrations which are which deal with this particular teaching. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. عليكم السلام.